Okay, so the Turuk of Samach Samach Aleph Sif Hey. So the first couple Sifim, well, it's been a couple weeks, dealt with the issues of returning Ribbis Durabanan. That was the issue that was raised in the first three Sifim. Then they have to return the issue of, well, he doesn't really have to, Basin's not going to force him to do it, but if he wants to, but then there's the idea that if he wants to kind of get his cheshbon straight, then he should go ahead and do it. So the lundus behind that is that returning a ribis is not the same as returning stolen stuff. Stolen stuff is a din of a heishivosa, or the din of a shavas aviv. It's a din of returning stolen things, a din of returning lost things. That's a din that it's not really yours, it's really theirs. This is really, no, it's not, it's more of a mitzvah of, I forget the term, chayachecha, that you're going to return to your brothers. It's a separate mitzvah when it comes to ribis, that you return ribis. So that's a mitzvah's asay. It's not because there's a problem in terms of the kinyan or in terms of the ownership. It's rather because that it's just a mitzvah in the Torah to do it. So it might not extend so it only extends as far as it extends. That seems to be the idea behind it. So now we get up to in Sifhei, Kvasamachav Sifhei, in the Torah. The Torah then discusses the issue of, okay, what about if it's Ribbis Doraisa? So Ribbis Doraisa Shu Derech Halva, Davar Katsuv, so it's the way of lending in with an exact amount, so it's Ribbis Doraisa, Yotza B'dayanim, so then Dayanim would go and they would force you out, they would force the money. V'chein Balvo Al Chatzero, similarly, if you lend somebody money off of the Chatzer, it sounds like, I think what he's referring to is that the chatzer serves as a collateral. For Abu Lo, when you say, I'm an ashidur bochinam, right, here's $100, you're gonna give me your chatzer as a collateral. Oh, and I'm gonna sleep in the chatzer until you pay me the $100 back. Right, so that's ribis. You're setting a set amount as to what you're going to be getting back. So if that's the case, amalo amanas ashiyidur bochinam. Oh, yaskira lo b'pachos v'chiyotzim, or you rented a low rent or something like that. So then that would be an example of ribis katzusa. Why that is the example that is given is unclear. The Chalchus Ben Yamin points that out. He says, like, okay, that's an example of ribis doraisa. There is 50 examples of Ribbis Doraisa. Why is it if you lend the Ribbis Doraisa or you do this, which is an example of Ribbis Doraisa? Right? You just say that Ribbis Doraisa should cover this example. You shouldn't have to give an extra line. So it's really a question on the tour. It doesn't seem like it's a quote from the Gemara. It's just the tour kind of threw in this example.
It's just not an exchange of money. It's an exchange of goods or services.
Right, but that's brought up. I mean, that's it. The halacha that discusses this appears in like 10 simanim later, and quote, and it's listed. It tells you there that's Ribbis Doraisa. I mean, there's another 15 simanim or so in Hilchos Ribbis. Probably all of them have some category of Ribbis Doraisa in it, so they're not all listed here as, oh, an example of Ribbis Doraisa where you'd be forced to pay it back. Whatever, that's just a question that's out there.
Less obvious
example. But I'm just saying you can go and connect. You could, you know, as you then go through the rest of Hilchos Ribbis, you learn Ribbis Doraisa, so you know to plug it into this din. Okay, so that's the tour. So the Beis Yosef points out that this is a plukta damurai ala samach aleph amabezu va ala samach beis amar aleph in the Beis Yosef. Hey.
Talking about on the left side. Yeah. Beis Yosef is both sides. Okay.
So this is a discussion in that Gemara. And mashba the kaimulan kamanda amar yotze v'chein pasuk kol ha-poskim. That's the way that we pass it. That it's yotze b'dayanim. Now what does it mean that it's yotze b'dayanim? It's yotze b'dayanim because it's like a stolen object and the dayanim are going to go and rip it out of your hand? Or is it yotze b'dayanim because it is a mitzvah? And guess what? Beis Din has the right to force you to do mitzvos. So comes the, and so b'chasav b'nimukei Yosef b'shem harashba v'haran, the hadam minan yotze b'dayanim, that which we say that the dayanim, that the dayanim are going to force it out of you, hainu lomar, what's that referring to? The kofan oso mishum mitzvah sase. That's all it means. Uh-huh. It's a mitzvah sase like other mitzvah sases. They could force you to do it. They could beat you up until you do it because it's a mitzvah sase. They should kaima mitzvah. Aval ain't based in your din l'nechasa. A basin doesn't have the right to seize your bank account. Right? It's a mitzvah sase to do. It's not a mitzvah for you to lose the money. So a basin could just seize your funds somehow. In theory, they had that ability, so that wouldn't work in this case. It's a mitzvah sase, just like putting on tefillin in the morning is a mitzvah sase. They could force you to do it. But basically, can't give up and say, oh, well, someone else will put on tefillin instead. Right? It doesn't work
that way. So
you have to be the one to actually give it, because the mitzvah is to actually give it. Yeah. Vav is a similar. Let's do Vav also while we're here. So Bedvar Mamurim Shamal VeKayim. So what are we talking about here? He says when the Malv is still alive, Avali Meis. But if the Malv is dead, In Habanim Tzrichim LaHachzir. So then Banim, the children, don't have to pay it back. Afal Pisha Yodin Shehu Shel Ribbis. Even though they know it's Ribbis. So the person collected ribbis. Then all of a sudden he realizes, oh, gewalt, it's ribbis. So he learns, stumbles across some shirim in Anwayito and realizes that ribbis is aser. So now he wants to pay it back. And then he dies, right? So can the person or the lova realizes that it's ribbis? So the lova has the right to go to Beis Din and try to get the money out. But then there's no more malva anymore. So can he go to the children of the malva in order to get the money out? So says the tour, no, he can't. Why not? So same thing. It's a mitzvah sase, right? So it sounds like it's a mitzvah sase. It's a mitzvah on the guy who took the ribbis, not on his children. It's not a debt that gets passed on. V'imhu davar misuyam. But however, if it is a davar misuyam, he'on para vitalis tzrichim lahachzir mishum kavod aviyam. So then they would have to give it back because of the kavod of the father. Meaning okay. It was.
What's
a davar misuyam? Like I'm going to hereby give you $100 back plus a cow or plus a garment. That's the example that he object. A concrete mm-hmm. object. So now, what does that mean? Right. So that means that the children are going to be living after the father died, having this cow on their property that everybody knows was taken by way of ribbis. So he says, if that's the case, if it was a specific object that was given as the interest payment, so then in that case, so then they would be mechuyev to then they would give it back in order to honor their father. Now I didn't really see where the lumdus was or what that means in terms of honor the father. It sounds like it's one of these like Bilam issues, like Bilam, they killed the donkey at the end. The donkey dies in order because that people don't get reminded of that. Yeah, that's what I thought of.
And it's like if the animal involved in a Baru Zerah, because they say, or sodomy or something,
right.
Like the could be killed.
Right. So that is an approach. So yeah, keep that in mind and see if that fits into a question that's raised by the Biscuit Chuva later.
Yeah, but you have to honor your father even after you.
What?
Yeah, but you have to honor your parents even after they're gone.
Okay.
So by keeping this object or using it or whatever, you make people say things about your father.
Right. Okay.
Not
all right. But so just if that. So you're saying, and this is going to jog their memory, right? That's what you want to say.
You mean the object being.
I mean having this eye, having the cow going around.
Yeah.
Right, so that's going to jog everyone's memory.
Every time they walk by, they'll say, "You know what? I remember that." Cow.
Right. So that I think that's certainly one approach. But so we'll see a Piskei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch that kind of raises some issues on this, and got to figure out what the other side is, if there is one. I'm not sure what it is, but the. So the Torah then comments, however, Dafka Sha'asa Tshuva, it's really based on the Gemara. The Gemara says this. It's only if he does Tshuva B'chayev, meaning if the father did Tshuva during his lifetime. So then the Gemara asks, well, if he did Tshuva during his lifetime, what's he still doing with the cow? He says, no, he did Tshuva during his lifetime. El Shalom Hispik Lahachzir Ad Shemes, but he didn't have a chance to return until he died. Avalo Asa Tshuva, but if he didn't do Tshuva, in Chayev M'chvodo Sheyachziyu M'shum Kvodo. So then you're not going to have to return it in your father's honor. It's not something that you would be required to do. Fine. So that's enough, an introduction from the tour. So let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Samach Aleph Sif Hey. So Kuf Samach Aleph Sif Hey says as follows, Ribiz Do Raisa, Shehu Biderech Halva, Bidavar Katsuv, Yotze Bidayanim. If you have Ribiz Do Raisa, which was given in the way of a loan, bedavar katsav, in a set amount, yotze b'dayanim. Why? Shehayu kofin umakana so achetesi nafsho. And they would force you to give it until you, in theory, died. Well, ain't based in your din l'nechasim, but they're not going to go into your nechasim. V'chein b'halvahu, similarly, if al-chatzer, similarly, if you give, and it gives close to this example, if you lend based on the chatzer, with the chatzer as a collateral, v'amrele al-manashe yidr b'chinam, o'shiach rendu lo b'pachas, or that could sleep there for free or for a lesser amount, are similar examples, that would also be a problem. That you could force the person, sounds like, to pay it back. Maybe that's the chiddush. That's the chiddush. Even though it wasn't money that was given, or it wasn't an object that was given, it was something that was a non-entity. It's just that you slept someplace. Maybe that's the chiddush. It could be force you to pay back the fair market value of that.
You have to pay what you should have, the rent for
that. Right. Maybe that's what he's saying.
You can't just kick him out of there.
Oh, there's a big Pisgah Teshuvah here. I didn't look into that. All right, now I'm home to work on it now. Okay, so comes the... okay, so that's hay. I didn't really see any... Yeah, there is a there's an interesting. The Shach makes a comment. Nira, however, right, that Bison can't go into his amount. So the Shach in Ches points out. However, Nira dim kvar hichsi aribis. Also, he already returned the ribis. I mean, Bison said he got to return the ribis. Returns the ribis. Oh, meat or on his own, or he just returns it. Then he goes and takes it. So Mishalova ba'ara rivis, so then you're the lechasus, then you can go and get it. I mean, he has no right to it. It's not like it's his and he's doing a favor to the lova by giving it back to him. Right? He gave it back to the lova. It's now belongs to the lova once again, and that's it. He can't go ahead and take it. Right? The hahavle gezel, plus that we call that stealing. B'chein imitchila lakach ribis ketsutza balkorcha shalova. Similarly, if he originally took the ribis ketsutza against the will of the lova, meaning he grabbed it from his house. Say, you owe me ribis here, I'm taking it. So similarly, he had no right to it. So therefore, that's what we call, we have a word for when you take something that you have no right for, we call that stealing, right? And Basin has the right to go into that person's property in order to take it. Good. So that's hay. So then Vav comes along and says, right, lakach ribis ketsutza, let's say you took this ribis ketsutza, and then you died. So ein habanim tzrichim lahachsir, elim kein hayelo davar mesuyim. So when that's the case, so the basin don't have to return it unless it is a davar mesuyim, like a para or
the children don't have to
return it. The children don't have to return it unless it is a davar mesuyim, and even that is only if the father had indicated that he was doing tshuva and he didn't have a chance to return it. But if the father had no interest, so then you're allowed to keep it around. Okay. So there's a important Pisgei Teshuva here because it kind of develops a important yesod in terms of how interest works. Now, I'll be honest, I don't really understand the entire question here. Well, I'll show you the part that I don't get, but I think we do get the principle. So it says, Ayin b'tshuvas tiferes tzvi, Pisgei Teshuva vav. So it says the Pisgei Teshuva, Ayin b'tshuvas tiferes tzvi, chelek yurdeyasim in memches os aleph, dehagon achasid Rav Akiva Eger. Right, nistapek beim echa nasan lamalva ribis ketsutza. Let's say the malva made a loan. Sorry, the lova is paying back the ribis ketsutza. Vadayin lo paro lo hakaren, but hadn't yet paid the karen. Right, he hasn't yet paid the principal. So I got a loan for $100. I agreed to pay you $120 back ribis ketsutza. Right, I give you $20. I say here's the interest payment, but I still owe you the principal. Right?
A lot of loans work that way anyway.
Right. I mean, homework. You pay the interest first. Right. I know that well. So, umeis hamalva, and then the malva dies. Right? So, what do you have here? So, you have the loan is still due, but there's already been money that's paid. And that money that's been paid is usser. Now, we've said already, right, that the children of the Malva don't have to give back the ribis ketsutza to the lover, right? The father's dead already. So, what about here? So, can you say, im yachol linkos lehayorshim me'akeren shechayv l'shayim lehem? Can you deduct from the yorshim, from the keren, which you are obligated to do? Can you deduct the interest payment that you've already given and say, listen, I paid you $20 already, I'm only going to give you $80, right? So the children say, hey, wait a second, you owe us $100. He says, well, I already paid you $20. So yeah, but that $20 was interest, that wasn't principal, right? But keep in mind that if the father, if he had already paid $100 and he still owes $20 of interest payment, right, he would not have to pay it to the children. Right, that's the part of the question that you want. Right, so Yerushim Me'akeren Shechayev L'Shalim Lehem Ma Shenosan Ribis Ketsutza. Right, can they deduct from that which they are chayev to pay the Ribis Ketsutza which they had already paid? So O, and this is the part that I don't really get. He's referring
E. Looks like an E.
You have it as E.
Yeah, no, maybe it's just a poor.
Yeah, I had E.
It could be awesome. E. Yeah, it could be E. Okay, but he quotes this case here, which I didn't get. E doma l'saluke b'lo zuze, das hasovim b'el yiraba. Is it similar to that case, which I'm not sure what that is? Hachanami yesh lomer d'havi afuke, ume yorshim emotziim, that you've taken and you can't take from the yorshim. I'm not sure what that is. Oh, d'lo dami. Or it's not like that case, right? The sham havi mamuno, the chishnasan lo zocha behen. Aval hacha hayat tzarech lahachsir, vahavi kipiron alchov. He says, here you, I'm not sure, that put that part in parentheses. For who's al kasav, right? He raises that question, whatever that question was. Then he says, but then he writes, the lachaora nira the af ribis katsutsa nami hukona. Rak shemuchuyav lahachsir mitzad hamalve, right? Uberei enomuzar. He says, what's going on here? He's saying, yes, it's true, the children don't have to pay back. But when the father got the ribis katsutsa, he was obligated to pay back.
I think that's mitzvah.
What did I say? You're the Afribus Kutsutsa Nami Hu Kone, Rak Shemuchuyav Lahachsir Mitzad, or Hamitzvah, right? Ubere Enu Muzar, right? Baharich Bazet, he only has to, meaning he's owed the $120, he just has to pay $20 based on the mitzvah. But guess what? The children don't have the mitzvah. So maybe it's not relevant, and therefore they're still owed the $100. Baharich Bazet, Ul Basof Pasik, but then at the end he said, right, the mitam acher yachol linko, said you could deduct it. Why? The kevin the eno she'en, kevin she'ilu avim kayim, that if the father was alive, lo aya yachol legavos, he wouldn't be able to collect more than 80. That's all that he can give over to his children. I mean, if the father was alive and went to Basin, how much would he be able to get from the Love? He'd only be able to get 80. If that's the case, that's the Yerusha. The Yerusha is what Basin could possibly get for you. That's the it sounds like that's the way Rabbi Akiva Eiger concludes. However, there is a Rav Moshe has in the back of Yerodea, Chelek Gimel has, and this is like, yeah, Ribbis is known to be a specialty area, but Rav Moshe has in the back here, from page Tuf Hay till the end of the book, I think. From Tuf Hay to page Tuf Kuf Gimel, so that's, we're talking 100 pages. There's 100 pages on Hilchos Ribbis that he just throws in the back of this section. So anyways, he has a ha'ara, it's divided up into ha'ara. So he has an ha'ara here, which gives a very important yisod, where he quotes this question, and he says, well, Fini is daisi hayinira, the cholzman, right, again, what Rabbi Akiva Eiger answered what? He said, they could deduct it. Why? Because the only debt that the father is giving over to the children is the $80, not the $100, because that's all the father could collect. Says Rav Moshe, I think much simpler. Fini is daisi hayinira, the cholzman shalo para esakeren, leka klal nasinas ribis. Says the whole thing isn't true. He says the guy's saying, I'm giving you 20. What established the fact that that $20 that he gave already was a ribbis payment? Right? But he said it's a ribbis payment. Mm-hmm. He says, but halacha doesn't recognize a ribbis payment, right? So the only way halacha would recognize a ribbis payment is once the principal is already paid, right? Once the principal is already paid, so then whatever extra money comes in, you're mechuyev to give back to the other person. But until you get to that threshold, right? It's not called ribbis, right? Right. The Masha Amar Shehu Nosin LeRibbis Ain Osa LeRibbis. That which he said was ribbis, it wasn't really ribbis. Kimin Shelinian Hamitzias Ain Ze Adayin Ribbis. It's not ribbis, right? The Ha'ika Harbe Mea Karen Etzlo, because he still has so much of the Karen by him. Velonis Rabe Klum Eitzel Amalva. Right. Verak Masha Nosan Achar Shekvar Shili Mesa Karen Hu Ribbis. The only thing that qualifies as ribbis is only once you have already paid Karen. Right, so that is, while this is a pretty detailed issue here, I think that's a pretty important thing to keep in mind going forward. Right, the Rav Moshe has this tshuva, right? He says the chiddush, you know, it's a pretty big yisod that the ribbis can't happen until the karen is paid. So we'll see how that gets plugged in for the duration of our learning here.
Because the loan is not due yet. I mean, he hasn't paid anything.
Well, maybe it was due. We don't know that.
Well, I thought that was one of the principles, is that one of the cases was that the principal was not yet due. So therefore, they took the ribbis payment and they just applied it to the principal.
I don't know. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. He gave that was a specific case, but I don't even think so. He gave here's the ribbis. I want to knock that. I'm really annoyed and frustrated by having this ribbis thing. Just take the money and get away from me, right? Okay, I'll give you the Karen later on. That's what he said, right? So we don't recognize that as ribbis.
So obviously the loan wasn't due. That's the case you know.
Well, the loan was due or wasn't due. The concept, right, of a loan being due in halacha, I'm not really sure what that means.
Yeah, the problem with halacha is you can't charge interest.
Right.
So I say the loan is due, you don't pay me. So what?
It still wouldn't agree upon time.
I can't force you to pay.
I mean, it does, in terms of Shemitah's, in terms of Shemitah's Ksafim makes a difference, right? Shemitah's Ksafim only works on loans that are due. We do recognize loans being due. I'm just not sure what the, you know, Nafkamina would be for it. Okay, so that is, so that's issue one. So you have Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and then you have Rav Moshe giving different explanations, but both of them seem to paskin at the end that the $20 would be deducted from the rest of the loan. Now, the Piskei Teshuva goes on and says one other thing. He says, and take a look at the Piskei Teshuva. Fine, but I am bedugla mirvava, which is actually right here. But, you know, if we're here, bedugla mirvava, I think it's hard to find in your site. But bedugla mirvava has another question. She's not picking meis halove. What about if the love dies? Right, the love gave $120 for a $100 loan. Now he has to want the money back. So then he dies. Right, so $20 in theory is owned from the malva to the love, but the love is dead. So chayev lahachzir liyorshei halove. So would the malva be chayev to give it back to his yorshim, to the yorshim of the love? Right.
This would be interesting.
Yeah, the lender paid the interest, now he wants it back, and right. So would that even work if the love is dead? That perhaps the main idea of returning ribbis is based on the pasuk of v'chayachecha. You got to give it to your brother, and there's no more brother anymore, right? Hadar lei ki hechi. Wait, hadar lei ki hechi the. As long as he's alive. Now that he's dead, maybe there's no responsibility to, you know, to sustain him. So the Dugan Varo quotes the Kolbo, Shakasav Yishlo, Lahashiv Haribis, Lo Liyarshiv. That you are Machuyiv to return the Ribis to him and to the Yorshim. Lahasav Ve'efshir Dahainu Barot Salashuv. And he writes, it's only if he wants it to Juva. Right? Aval, Habastin Nirash Ein Kofin Lahashiv, Liyorshi Halov. He says, however, if he doesn't want to, then Bastin wouldn't force him to give back to the Yorshim of the Lova. Why that would be, I'm not sure. I mean, either it is or it isn't, but that's the way the note to be who the comes down.
So the obligation is to give it to the Malva, to give it to the Lova. The Malva dies, then the obligation.
Right, but he starts off by saying you should do it, but if he doesn't want to, Bastin won't force him. Yeah. Well, which one is it? If it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, right? Now, we do have the concept here, which is how you would have to explain this. We've had the concept the last time we learned of, Bisham won't force you, but there is an idea of tshuva for it, which maybe you would do, but I think he would say that. Okay. So Zion, and then the Zion, the Piskei Teshuva, talks about the idea of Davar Mesuyim. So we said before, what's the reason for the Davar Mesuyim works? Because you don't want to have this object around. It reminds you, you know, that everybody will remember that the father was a ribbis lender. So Ayin B'Tshuva is Har Carmel. Be'inyin im haniach para vitalis v'shachtu oso v'achlu basra. Let's say you shechted it and ate it. See, there was a Davar Mesuyim that was given as the thing, but now it doesn't exist anymore. Now it exists in money form. Oh, karu l'talis, or let's say you tore the talis. Im chayvim l'shalim. So would you then be chayv to pay it back? V'chein im davar mesuyim zeh sheniach avihem machro hayorshim. Similarly, let's say the father left a davar mesuyim behind, and the yorshim sold it. Right, im chayvim lates lova hadam shekibel. Would they be mechuyev to give that money back? Gam im yorshu shneachem. Let's say two brothers inherit. Va'echad natal b'chelko davar mesuyim, and one of the brothers got this davar mesuyim in his property. Va'achar kach noda shehu ribis. And afterwards, they found out that it's ribis. Ve'echziru b'din, and then he returns it like the din. So yachol legavos chelko me'achav asheni. So can he go to the other brother who didn't have the davar mesuyim in his property and say, you know, let's pay up, pay up half for the amount that I had to pay back in order to give back that. So all these things are left in, you know, ayin sham shaharach bazeh, right? But those questions all seem to be surround the reason for what this davar mesuyim would be. Is it because you don't have the object around, or is there something else that seems to be at play?
So is there an answer to what happened? If it was shechted, you had to give back the worth, and what did he say? Or he just posed the question?
He raised the question, and then apparently is marach. I don't know if that means he came to an answer or not, but marach means he went on for a long time.
Oh, okay, so it's not direct.
Well, if you can just
shechted the original source. Okay.
This is the Piskei Teshuva. The Piskei Teshuva is always quoting sources. That's what he does for a living.
Or sell it, and the
Why would you have to give it back? Because it reminded you of the deposit, but it doesn't apply anymore.
Right. So the question.
Right. So what would possibly the reason be? So possibly the reason would be is like it's just that that's the gezeira. The gezeira is on a davar mesuyim, and then you know you just carry it out from there.
Otherwise, you'd never give it back. Why should I give it back to you if I can just eat it?
You just hurry up and slaughter it. I give it back. So here
in the Chalkas Binyamin, he quotes one more idea. He says, how do you define a Davar Mesuyim? He says, Parah Vitalis, and he doesn't say Perus, he doesn't say other things like that. So what's unique about a Parah Vitalis? He says, he thinks that the reason is Shkol Echad Miyuchad Tzas B'mino, that each one is unique, that each par is unique, and each garment is unique. So because that is unique, so that's why it's called davar mesuyim. So then he goes on and says, he says maybe nowadays ulfiza bizmanenu shekol begadim shel osa sog veosa midah shavim heim. Right? He says all clothing is mass produced. Every you buy a size whatever suit, so they all look they're all the same. Right? Veosa midah shavim heim zelazah. Right? Mistaber de im behem din davar mesuyim. That nowadays it doesn't have a din davar mesuyim anymore.
But one cow looks like another too. Even back then, probably one cow looked.
You gotta know the cows better.
The farmer to tell which is which.
The farmer's
another reason could be that a cow and a talus is much more lasting than fruit. He's saying fruit is something that doesn't
be around for a couple weeks,
maybe over half a year.
Right.
Talus could go on for, but I don't know. It's just
right, possible. Yeah. I hear. And the other things also, what about wood? What about, this? I don't know.
Wood's, yeah, combustible.
Mm-hmm. Anything, it says it has to be something people would see, because they would have to know. It's just a twig or something. Board.
Yeah. Okay, I hear the question, but that's his take. All right. Also, Davar Mesuyim, yes, it's true, they might be mass-produced, but once you have... yes, it's true. You could go to Joseph A. Bank and they have 300 of the same suits and the same size. But if you walk into shul, you don't. It's not. There's only one person there with that suit, right? So it is somewhat of a.
You also have 300 different suits.
Right.
It's not just they're all the same.
Right. So.
When did the Piskei
Tshuva? Piskei Tshuva was 1800s. I mean, quotes Rabbi Akiva, quotes Sam Sofer, quotes.
Might have been the days of Henry Ford when he said, you can have any color you want as long as it's black. Everything looked more the same. Than, now we have more.
Yes. Yes, yeah, right. Okay. Someone wrote an article recently. July 4th, that he just looked to figure out what was July 4th in the Hebrew calendar. He says,
I did it already.
Yeah, what was it?
Shimon
Zohar Thomas. Yeah.
Just, I could never figure out what that means. Does that mean, is it a good or bad?
Right.
Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Yeah, so his article was the ability to get along. He thought it was a tikkun. That was the point of the article. I'll take a look.
Good.
Okay, so... all right, it'll stay here. He says, let's say the person comes and says he wants to go ahead and do tshuva.
Zayin.
Zayin. Imbo lasos tshuva. Me'atzma l'hachzir haribis. So then he should go ahead and return the ribis. Imhu davar mesuyim. Mekavlu mimenu. So if it's davar mesuyim, so he can give it back. Vimenu davar mesuyim. And if it's not a davar mesuyim. Imrov asku umichyaso beribis. Im mekavlu mimenu. Kli liftoach lo derech l'tshuva. He says, if it's a specific object, give it back. But if most of his dealings was in ribbis, I mean, a person was a loan shark for his whole life, and all of a sudden he realizes at the end, gewalt, I didn't realize that there's an issue in the Torah to be a loan shark. So so we don't take it back from him. Ein mekabel mimenu kedei liftoach lo derech l'tshuva. So we open up the path for tshuva for him. If you take from him, so then we back off of such a thing. So that's the Gemara. The Gemara makes a comment. The Gemara has a story that first says this halacha that a person who lends with ribis and a person who is a gazlan was a gazlan his whole life, so they don't have to return it. They don't have to return it back. So the Gemara tells the story that some Goslin was feeling real bad one day. He says, I went to shul this morning and I realized, I'm a Goslin. I could do better. I'm not so happy about being a Goslin, so I want to do tshuva. And his wife told him, you better not do tshuva. What about all this stuff we have here? What's going to be with all the stuff we have? So the guy backed out. So therefore, this sounds like this takana was made to Sevja. So the Gemara said
the kind is that you don't have, you can do tshuva and not return the stuff.
Right.
Right. I understand that. Okay.
So the kind is that, well, we're not going to force you to give back the stuff. So that that then opens the door. Okay, not going to force it. What about if he wants to? Right. They totally mevatel it. What?
That's what I thought it was saying here.
Yeah, and also, and also the other question is that, well, there are plenty of examples of gazlanim returning things that they stole over the course of their lives in the Gemara. So what's going on here? So Rabbi Nutama actually says the Gemara has this comment, says, oh, and that was Bimei Rebbe. That kind of was Bimei Rebbe. So Rabbi Nutama says, yeah, it was Bimei Rebbe, and that was it. It was only Bimei Rebbe. That this gazera only a takana. Oh, really, I guess it would be a takana. This, what's the difference between a takana and a gazera? Have you ever do this here? You know, different thing at the Kanan and Gezera. Rabbi Rakef had pointed out, he once said it, that a Gezera makes you more from, and a Takana makes you less from. That all Gezeros are make things more machmir, and Takanos are making everything more mekel, like the Kanos Rabbeinu Gershom. Really, you can marry two wives. And we're going to say, don't listen to what the Torah says, only marry one wife.
That's a Takana?
That's a Takanos. Oh, that's a Chirim, yeah.
That's more stringent, no?
Right. Maybe that's not the best example. The kana of prosbul, right? Those kinds of things. So a lot of them are all making you. They're all kind of knocking away at the Torah a little bit because it was necessary. So, anyways, so that's how it sounds like here. So Rabbi Tam says on that Gemara, it says, yeah, that takana was only during the time of Rebbe. However, others give other answers, say that, well, this is only if he was, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch here, Imrov Asku Mechiyosu Beribis. That's how he made his living. His whole life was like that, so now he's going to have to return his whole life? That can't be. But if you make one loan with Ribis, so then it doesn't mean that you would then not return. Of course, then you would return. It's only qualifies for that person. That seems to be the way that we would paskin. Yeah. All right, the next Ches is somewhat of a complicated case. All right, so maybe we'll hold off on Ches. I'll pick up again next week.